And this hour, pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us as we will take your health questions. CriticalHealthNews.com, that is the website to go to. And we will be back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from CriticalHealthNews.com. Ben, does anybody suffer from scurvy anymore, lack of vitamin C?
Everybody suffers from scurvy in the sense that aging is subclinical scurvy. All of the signs of aging are similar to the signs of scurvy. The joint degeneration and the ruptures and the hernias and the gum disease and the heart disease, these are all manifestations of vitamin C issues. Now, I'm not saying it's only vitamin C issues that are associated with aging, but a case could be made that the symptoms of aging are subclinical scurvy, which makes vitamin C an incredibly important anti-aging nutritional supplement.
And the ancient sailors realized you had to take some...
Yeah, that whole story, right?
Yep.
Yeah, the Limeys, you know that story?
Yep.
The Limeys, that's right. It was Admiral James Lind, who was a British admiral. He noticed that when his sailors were eating fresh fruit, they didn't get scurvy. Scurvy used to kill people all the time.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible.
Horrible disease.
It's amazing how many things we've learned over the years, huh?
Isn't that? And we're continuing to learn.
Yeah, that's true. East of the Rockies, JJ's with us in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, JJ.
Hello, JJ.
Hey, George. Hey, Ben. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing, sir. Thank you.
First of all, Ben, I'm excited to hear that you have some great education on your website regarding acne. I will be poking around that website here when I get off the phone.
All right.
My question to you is about, well, really, I'm calling on behalf of my wife. We're looking at possibly the beginning of another flare-up of ulcerative colitis, and I'm wondering, what are your thoughts about mixing probiotics with distilled water and performing an enema with them, basically a probiotic enema? Have you heard of it, and what are your thoughts on it?
Absolutely. It's brilliant. That's highly recommended. If you want to, you know, it's a little bit of a, it's a, it takes some work.
It's extreme,
right?
But...
But it's excellent. Absolutely excellent. In fact, I don't know if you're, George, you're gonna probably think this is gross, George.
Be careful now what you say.
I will. Have you ever heard of fecal transplants?
No, that's gross.
Yeah, I thought you'd think that, but as it turns out, it's a legitimate therapy for intestinal issues. I'm not even going to explain how they do it, but you can kind of use your imagination. The bottom line is working with the intestine through the bottom, if you will, is a great strategy for folks who are dealing with intestinal issues.
Do they sell any special remedies for that?
For ulcerative colitis?
Yes.
Probiotics, that's the best thing you could do. And I usually recommend orally, but this gentleman is right on using it as an enema.
It really still would work, though.
Yes, absolutely. And then also, you know, you were talking about fiber earlier. We were talking about fiber for constipation. Fiber acts as what's called a prebiotic. Have you heard this term, George? Prebiotic.
Yep, I sure have.
It helps the probiotics work. So making sure you're getting enough fiber, either from fruits and vegetables, which is a great way to do it. I make myself a fiber beverage by grinding up flax seeds and then adding warm water and then putting a little bit of honey and some cinnamon and some clove. It makes a delicious intestinal beverage for helping keep everything moving. Plus, flax is a great source of essential fatty acids and vitamin E. It, even if you do enough flax, a couple tablespoons of flax have as much protein as an egg, and it fills you up on top of everything else. It makes a great breakfast for folks who are trying to lose weight.
There is an app for CriticalHealthNews.com in your app store, so grab it. It's free, and you will enjoy it. It's fantastic, to be sure. CriticalHealthNews.com. Ben Fuchs, you can get emails on your website, no doubt?
Absolutely. We love emails, health@criticalhealthnews.com. We answer them all. A lot of folks don't want to talk on the phone. Just send us an email, health@criticalhealthnews.com.
Elena is with us now in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the show. Hi, Elena.
Hi, Elena.
Hi. Well, my question is for microscopic colitis.
Microscopic colitis.
A lot of colitis calls.
Yeah, a lot of colitis and intestinal questions. I'm sorry, go ahead, ma'am.
I've read that it's not as well researched as ulcerative, but it can be just as bad or worse.
Oh, yeah, colitis is colitis. It's the large intestine is responsible for absorbing water. And when the large intestine becomes inflamed, you don't absorb water out of your stool.
Or if you become dehydrated.
You can become dehydrated, you can lose electrolytes. And then, of course, you have chronic diarrhea. I'm sure that's what, you know, you're probably dealing with. So it doesn't matter whether it's called microscopic colitis. It doesn't matter whether it's called ulcerative colitis. It's colitis, which means it's an inflammation of the colon. The colon becomes inflamed when the environment in the colon is not conducive to good health. Number one, to control the environment, you've got to make sure you're using probiotics, those good bacteria. And then number two, you want to make sure you're using prebiotics to feed the good bacteria. And number three, and possibly most important of all, you got to stay away from foods that inflame the colon. One of the worst foods, one of the worst colon-inflaming foods that we eat, check this out, is French fries.
Really?
Yes. Fries.
I like a French fry once in a blue moon.
Well, once in a blue moon, okay. But we, you know, it's considered to be one of the leading vegetables in this country is French fries. So when we eat fried fats, the colon becomes inflamed. The fried fats that inflame the colon cause openings to appear in the colon that allow bacteria, bacterial toxins, and food particles to enter into the bloodstream. This is a condition called leaky gut syndrome or intestinal permeability syndrome.
You can get sepsis that way too, can't you?
It's behind every single health challenge, a chronic health challenge. Every one of them involves toxicity getting into the blood. This is why I'm always talking about keeping the blood clean and dirty blood. The source of dirty blood is the inflammation in the colon leading to this leaky gut condition. And the number one reason why we have these, well, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the most important reasons is the wrong kinds of foods, especially fried fats.
So what is your recommendation for Elena?
Probiotics, number one. Prebiotics, number two, the fiber that we talked about. Probably wouldn't hurt you to get the glucogel caps and sort of build up that lining. Gelatin is great for the colon. Gelatin supplements or gelatin in the gel caps. And then the Ultimate EFAs, or Ultimate EFA Plus, actually better.
When a little baby is born,
yes,
are they born with everything working properly terms of their... I'm not talking about those that are sick or ill, but
No, they're not. And in fact, that's a very interesting question, George, because you see, nature, human beings have big heads, right? We have big brains and big heads. So as it is, it's hard enough for a woman to pass a baby. But imagine if the head was fully grown. It would be that much worse. So after a baby's born, the immune system is built up, the brain starts to grow, or the brain grows more, and then also the digestive system is built up. And all of this is supposed to happen through breast milk. And also through a bacterial bathing that the baby gets as it passes through the birth canal. When we're born, we go through the birth canal and we're bathed with this covering of bacteria. And those bacteria go into the colon, into the mouth, and then they implant in the colon. And from that point forward, those bacteria help support the baby's immune system, help support the baby's digestive system, help the baby process food. And then on top of that, breast milk further accelerates or increases the growth of the baby. But without breast milk, and a lot of women, you know, a lot of babies aren't breastfed or aren't breastfed long enough or are breastfed for moms who aren't nutritionally competent, or if you're born cesarean section, if a baby's born cesarean section, that baby will be compromised for the rest of its life. And that baby will be more prone towards all kinds of health challenges. Now, folks like me, who are in their 60s or 70s, they didn't know about any of this stuff. So many of our baby boomer brothers and sisters and colleagues are suffering from health challenges that are secondary to problems with breast milk or with breastfeeding or problems or being born cesarean. Now, fortunately, that's changing now, and now we're starting to understand the importance of breast milk. And we'll also understand the importance of a full vaginal birth. But there's a lot of folks who are dealing with problems, health challenges now, because we didn't understand these kinds of things 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago.
Tom has a text and tweet for you, Ben. What do you have, Thomas?
Hey, Ben Samuel in Tampa Bay, Florida. He wants to know if multivitamins are still effective if the date on the bottle is expired.
Yeah, they're probably still effective, but they're going to be less effective over time. How the exact measurement of the decrease in effectiveness over time.
What degrades, Ben?
Vitamins. B vitamins degrade. Vitamin C degrades.
Huh.
Minerals probably don't degrade. But the vitamins, especially the water-soluble vitamins and B-complex vitamins and vitamin C, those will degrade over time. But if they're kept in the bottle and they're kept in a dark place, the degradation, and they're kept dry because water helps. Water makes them break down too.
Sure,
they'll last long past the expiration
date. I've seen some multivitamins that say for men or for women.
Yeah.
So tell me the difference.
There is no difference. Marketing's the difference.
Is that it?
Yeah, marketing.
It's the same thing.
Basically the same thing. You know, they may throw a little bit more iodine for women, and they may throw a little more zinc for men. But no, we all need the same thing.
That's interesting. Okay, let's go to Mike in Houston, Texas. Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Hi, God.
Hey, Michael.
Hi, guys. Ben, we've talked before. I had MS diagnosed almost 40 years ago. I've been a paraplegic for 35 now. My question is this. I understand that Doc Wallach says that MS is really osteoporosis of the skull. And
what was osteoporosis? I didn't hear.
MS.
Oh, MS. Okay, gotcha.
Yes. Is that correct? That's what he says.
Well, MS is an autoimmune disease. Are you paraplegic because of MS?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's a couple things I'll tell you. First of all, there's a wonderful book called The Walls Protocol, and that's W-A-H-L-S. And this is by a doctor, Terry Walls, who cured herself of MS. And she did it by doing exactly what we talk about on this program every 6 weeks or every 3 weeks, including Dr. Wallach, and that's by focusing on the digestive system. So anybody who is starting to get MS, and I don't know how far along, you know, sounds like yours is pretty progressed, but it certainly would help you to make the connection between specific foods, digestive health, and neural health. And by the way, this is true about all autoimmune diseases. That mechanism that I talked about earlier where toxins get into the blood, that's how autoimmune diseases begin, is through toxicity in the blood. So working on the intestine is critically important for folks who are dealing with any kind of autoimmune disease, but especially with the neurological issues like MS and also Parkinson's disease for that matter. So getting yourself on the Nightly Essence probiotics, which I consider to be the best probiotic supplement out there, using all the things we just talked about, including prebiotics, more fiber, staying away from problem foods, fried foods, gluten, gluten-containing foods, anything that causes digestive distress. And I would ask you, Michael, did you notice that there's digestive distress during the day? Did you notice before you were your disease?
Well, I've been constipated for most of my life. I had problems with that.
Yeah, exactly. They're related. They're connected. And doctors are just now starting to understand this, but you don't need to have a doctor understand it. It's a biochemical mechanism. Toxins get into the blood. The immune system attacks those toxins. And when those toxins and the immune system complexes come to rest in various parts of the body, the thyroid, you'll have thyroid autoimmune diseases, the nerves, you'll have neurologic autoimmune diseases, the pancreas, you'll have type 1 diabetes. This is the mechanism of autoimmune diseases, including MS. So focus on that gut and get that book, The Walls Protocol. It's really, really instructive.
MS, which stands for multiple sclerosis.
Yeah,
can you explain, Ben, what that is exactly?
Yeah, sclerosis means hardening, like atherosclerosis is hardening of the arteries. Multiple sclerosis is when you get these scleroses, these hardenings, all over your body, especially in the nerves. The nerves have to be able to conduct energy. They have to have a fluidity. In fact, the whole body has to have a fluidity. And sclerosis is not only associated with this horrible disease, multiple sclerosis, but it's associated with aging. We actually, George, we harden to death. And it's kind of a metaphor almost, is that as we age, we become stiffer and harder. We become less fluid. And this reduction in fluidity is what accounts for the chronic pain that's associated with aging, the organ distress that's associated with aging, and ultimately our demise.
And what's multiple muscular dystrophy?
Muscular dystrophy is muscular, the muscles. Dystrophy is a change in the way that they're growing. Muscular dystrophy is a muscle disease versus a nerve disease. And it is also a horrible issue, although that one tends to be more congenital than multiple sclerosis, which occurs over time. Usually people in their 20s and 30s, that's when you get multiple sclerosis, MD, or muscular dystrophy.
And ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease.
That's another horrible one. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. It's a sclerosis. It's a hardening of the sides of the spine that impair the conduction of electrical energy. And people who have ALS, you know, famous Stephen Hawking's, it's really horrible. You gradually lose control of your
everything.
Muscles and nerves. It's a horrible thing. But again, it's also associated with digestive health issues. These neurological scourges, these horrible, horrible things that happen neurologically are preceded many times, oftentimes, most of the time, by problems at the level of the digestive system, which can be corrected.
Let's go to Les in Cottage Grove, Oregon. Welcome to the show. Hey, Les, go ahead.
I was calling. I'm going to get on the .com tomorrow and order your products, but I wanted to find out. I got macular degeneration and RP, and I was wondering, is acupuncture something that would
you know
that?
That would be a great doc question, too. He's very good at that, huh?
Yeah, that doc is almost like a macular degeneration specialist.
Hold on for 1 second. I'm going to give you a phone number, Les, right after Ben gives you some answers. Go ahead.
Yeah, acupuncture is great for things like relieving pain. But for biochemical issues, breakdowns, degenerative issues, acupuncture is not really going to help because the body is degenerating because it's missing something in combination with being stressed. And, of course, the eyes are exposed to the sunlight all the time and light from computers and just light in general. So, of course, the eyes are going to be a weak spot in the body. And when we're nutritionally deficient, it can show up as various eye health issues, including RP, retinitis pigmentosa, and also macular degeneration. But the operative term, the operative word in the phrase macular degeneration is not the macula, which is the center of the eye where the color is. It's the degeneration. It's a degenerative condition, meaning the body is breaking down, specifically at the level of the eyes. So for macular degeneration, number one, you always want to focus on it as a blood sugar condition. And that means getting on the healthy blood sugar path from longevity. And, of course, watching your intake of sugars. Macular degeneration and diabetes go hand in hand.
They do.
Secondly, there are pigments in the eye that are responsible for absorbing light. So making sure you're getting those pigments in your diet and also through supplements. And you know, George, I know you know about lutein and zeaxanthin.
Yep,
these carotenoids. These are pigments. And the reds of nature and the blues of nature and the greens of nature and the purples and the yellows, they're not just there to look good and they're not just there to be beautiful. They're there to protect us. And those pigments will not only protect your skin or your eyes, they'll also protect your skin from the sun. And they are nature's natural sunscreen ingredients. They'll also, of course, protect your eyes. And then Longevity's got a couple really neat eye products that you might want to consider, the Vision FX and the Occutive.
And Les, here's that number. Write it down, 1-855-949-7234. 1-855-949-7234. Call them tomorrow and just tell them about your macular degeneration as well. They'll back up what Ben has said, and they'll give you some things that Doc Wallach has talked about as well. Ben, since you've been doing this, how many years now?
Doing with you?
Yep.
2015, George, going on 8 years now.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Isn't that amazing? Oh,
and how long have you been associated with Critical Health News?
Well, since it began. Our friend MZ started it, I'm guessing 2011 maybe.
That's
and
fantastic.
I've been with Longevity since 1998. Can you believe this?
That is fantastic. Yeah. Is melanoma still a big problem?
Yeah, it's increasing, actually.
Skin
All
cancer.
Cancers are. Cancer, as I said, cancer is just, I can't even imagine the horror that somebody must go through when they hear that diagnosis of cancer. But cancer is something that is mostly lifestyle-based.
It's a horrible word.
Can you imagine getting that kind of diagnosis? And one out of two people, if they live long enough, are going to get it. So for cancer, you just want to consider it not to be a disease as much as a sign that the body is burdened. It's overwhelmed. And the best way to deal with cancer, if you have it or to prevent it, is to give the body a break. Treat your body like it's a baby. When a baby's crying, when a baby's in distress, you pet it, you nurture it, you love it, you talk kindly to it. And by the way, George, you know, you can talk to your body. You can talk to your cells. You can talk to your organs. I'm in the skin business, and I'll tell you what, most people only talk to their skin when they get a wrinkle or when they get a dark spot or when they get a blemish or a pimple. We never talk to our skin thanking it. We never talk to our liver thanking it. We never talk to our brain or our eyes. We live in this miraculous thing called the human body, George, and how often do we ever even give it
a great machine it is, and you got to keep it well-oiled, my friend. Ben, we're coming back with final calls in a moment. We'll be back with final calls with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from CriticalHealthNews.com in a moment. Next hour, Tyson's Gift, How an 8-Pound Canine Became a Man's Greatest Spiritual Guide. It's an amazing story. That'll be that part of the program. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie back with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from CriticalHealthNews.com. Tom will take your text and tweets. Let's go back to the phones. Let us go to Jeff in Billings, Montana. Welcome to the program. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have some endocrine issues, and it's sort of a weird backstory. Long ago, my dad worked at a rural research facility where the water that they drank and bathed in, it was well water. Well, it turned out the site became a supercluster site contaminated with the pesticide Dieldrin, which is 50 times more toxic than DDT.
It's banned
now, thankfully, but a whole bunch of my dad's coworkers, including my father, got cancer. Several of them had miscarriages, kids with birth defects. Thankfully, all three of my cancers are in remission, but I have some endocrine problems. Dieldrin targets the reproductive and endocrine systems, and it can stay in fat cells for like many years.
Yeah.
But my endocrine issues, I have low luteinizing hormone, which is low testosterone, high prolactin, which is being kept in check with cabergoline, thankfully, and that's sort of shrinking the pituitary tumor. My sister also had an identical pituitary tumor. She had hers surgery and then radiated, so her pituitary is completely destroyed, so she has issues for the rest of her life. And then I also have high growth hormone to the point where it's acromegaly, similar to Andre the Giant and what eventually killed him. But thankfully, I'm not 7 foot. I'm only 6 foot eight with size 18 feet, so I'm not
That's
that
not bad.
How old are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what to do with the rest of my endocrine issues or
how old are you, sir?
Some of those. I am 47 now.
Okay. And you're healthy now, aside from all these things? I mean, are you...
I also have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome on top of it.
Oh, you have Ehlers-Danlos.
That bullet was already in the chamber before I was born.
Yeah, that's all associated with the acromegaly, probably. So listen, you got a lot of stuff going on here, my friend. And it's all happening at the most fundamental level in the body that there is, which is the hormone system, the endocrine system. So you're going to have to really, really, really pay attention to what you're doing. Number one... And, you know, we all have to – there's certain things we all have to do, but you have to do them with zero tolerance for anything that is compromises your health. That means you have to have zero tolerance for processed food. That means you have to have zero tolerance for excess calories. That means you have to have zero tolerance for sugars, fast-burning sugars. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to have zero tolerance for any of the things that we all have to have zero tolerance for, but we don't. You really have to. And then on top of that, you should definitely be on a nutritional supplement program. I would be on the Healthy Start Pack immediately. I wouldn't wait even – I would get on it right now. Call 855-949-7234. Get on the Healthy Start Pack as soon as you can. Make sure you're taking extra Ultimate EFAs, essential fatty acids, and pay really, really close attention to your health. As far as did you say Ehlers-Danlos? What was the connective tissue issue you said that you had? Was it Ehlers-Danlos?
Yeah. Yeah, so I have weak collagen. At 47 years old as a male, I can actually get both my feet behind my head, so I'm super flexible.
Well, that's not necessarily a good thing. You want to strengthen the connective tissue. Ehlers-Danlos, George, is a connective tissue disease where the connective tissue deteriorates. It is associated with acromegalia, the height issue. So essential fatty acids are very important for you, as well as connective tissue building supplements. Things like glucosamine, the glucogel cast from Longevity, for example. Vitamin C, which is the rate-limiting step in the production of connective tissue. Bone broth, making sure you're using cartilage or ingesting cartilage. Anything you could do to build connective tissue will help you with the Ehlers-Danlos. It'll also help you with your heart. And that's another thing that you want to really pay attention to is cardiovascular health. They probably told you that.
Ben, if you had 10 people lined up, how many would have some kind of ailment or affliction?
Uh-huh. Depends on the age, but you know, once you're at a certain age, probably 9.5 out of 10. You know, folks over 60 are on an average of 60% of folks over 60 are on two or more prescription drugs on a regular basis, and something like 70% of folks over 70 are on three or more prescription drugs. So it's a really, really big problem. And the problem, George, is what's called chronic degenerative disease. That's the big problem. The body is a regenerating system. It's constantly healing. It's constantly breaking up old tissue and then building up new tissue. But when we have these conditions called chronic degenerative diseases, the body doesn't recover. The body doesn't regenerate. It just goes downhill. And for many people, it starts in their 40s. For some people, it even starts in their 30s, and it just keeps getting worse and worse over time.
Jeff, here's the number for you, 1-855-949-7284, and they will give you all kinds of information that you will need. Next up, Jim in Delaware. Take it away, Jimmy.
Ah, I got through. Thank you, George.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jimmy.
How about it, Ben? I got deep vein thrombosis.
Oh, yeah.
I get blood clots about every 3 years. It's still hasn't taken me out, but it could be the death of me.
Yeah, it can. Yeah, it can, Jimmy. You got to really start taking care of yourself. Blood clots are a sign that the blood is starting to clog up. Under normal circumstances, red blood cells are spread out. In fact, all cells under normal system, or under normal conditions or healthy conditions, are spread out. The spreading of red blood cells assures that the blood will flow smoothly. Over time, however, especially when you have that condition I talked about earlier, leaky gut, the blood becomes sticky. It becomes sludgy. It doesn't move around as much. And thromboses are one of the things, which are blood clots, by the way, are one of the things that can happen when the blood isn't moving and it's not circulating as efficiently as it should. So thinning the blood becomes very, very important. Number one, just plain old water will have a blood thinning effect, and you should be drinking lots of water. Number two, the ultimate EFAs from longevity, the essential fatty acids, are wonderful blood thinners. Also, vitamin E is a very effective blood thinner. In fact, doctors will tell you not to take vitamin E before you have surgery because it's such an effective blood thinner. So making sure you're using nutrients and then staying away from all the foods you know you should be staying away from, especially the fried fats and the sugars, both of which have a blood clotting effect, and then working on your digestive system to prevent that whole leaky gut mechanism for toxicity getting into the blood is also going to be important for you. But you're right, thromboses can definitely kill you, and it's a sign of a serious health challenge.
Is there an average age, Ben, where people get sicker than they normally would?
I'd say in the 60s is when it all starts to go, for a lot of folks, is in the 60s. No, you're like an amazing specimen, George, because you don't have any health challenges. You know, that's amazing.
Not yet. I had my share before I really picked up and learned all this stuff.
Did you, when you were younger, you had more health challenges?
No, a little later on. I'll get into it with you later.
Okay.
But I'm fine now.
You're an amazing specimen, George.
I'm going to keep going until, as we said, Tom goes to a commercial and comes back. And Tom, what do you say?
I haven't figured that one out yet, but
he's not with us anymore.
Probably. You know what? I'll figure it out.
But anyways, you got a text or tweet for Ben.
I sure do. Ben, Marty in South Pasadena would like you to talk about stretching and what time of the day is best to do so.
Stretching. I can't say enough good things about stretching.
I got to say in the morning when you wake up.
You know, before you go to bed's good, too. Before you go to bed in the morning and in the middle of the day is not a bad idea.
Yeah, but if you stretch before you go to bed, won't that keep you awake?
No, it'll help you fall asleep, actually.
You think so?
The action of the muscles signals stress. When the body is relaxed, when the skeletal system and the muscular system are relaxed, the body thinks you're at peace because when you're running from a saber-toothed tiger, from an evolutionary perspective, your muscles aren't relaxed. So relaxed muscles tell the body all is right in the world. And you'll find before you have a panic, for folks who have panic attacks, before you have a panic attack, your muscles are contracted. So relaxing the body, learning to relax the body is very important, and stretching is incredible. Stretching actually activates the growth of new tissue, and it's especially important for folks who have arthritis and older folks. And one of the things that happens as we get older is our body contracts, it shrinks, it shrivels. And stretching is a great way to counteract that. And I think you're probably right, George. First thing in the morning is the best. But before you go to bed is also a good time. And in the middle of the day is also a good time. And it could be something as simple as just touching your toes. You don't need to do anything really intense. Just touching your toes is enough stretching for a lot of folks. But if you want to have a really good stretching session, it's amazingly helpful for anti-aging and for reducing chronic pain.
Everybody with a smartphone or a computer right now, go to criticalhealthnews.com. I'm on the verge of setting another record, but I need your help in order to do it. Criticalhealthnews.com. It'll make the counter go wild. Do it. Let's go next to Maria in Illinois. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Maria.
You still there?
I don't hear Maria.
She's not there anymore. Let's try Connie in San Diego. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Connie.
Hello. What can be done about postmenopausal dark spots on the face?
Oh, great question. It's right up my alley.
You're the skin guy.
There's a couple things you can do. First of all, there's internal things you could do. And the two major biochemicals that are associated with this condition, it's called melasma, by the way, or hyperpigmentation, some people say, are estrogen and cortisol, stress hormone. So the female hormone and the stress hormone are the two major culprits when it comes to this melasma or hyperpigmentation condition. So balancing out your estrogen with a couple of things, as we talked about earlier, getting on the ultimate EFAs, and then using progesterone, which your doctor can help you with or you can find in a health food store. And then cortisol is relaxing the body. One of the best anti-stress, you're going to love this, George, one of the best anti-stress supplements you could use, anti-cortisol supplements, is melatonin. And melatonin is also a wonderful skin lightener, has skin lightening effects. So getting yourself on some melatonin before you go to bed can be helpful. And then topically, you can use something called retinol, R-E-T-I-N-O-L, retinol, on the dark spots. Also, topical vitamin C has a skin lightening effect. And then 5% to 10% solutions of glycolic acid can also help. There's a drug they can give you, a prescription drug that you can put on the dark spots, but it's kind of toxic, and I don't recommend it. But it is somewhat effective, and that's called hydroquinone. And you might want to, if you really want to get rid of your dark spots, you might want to do that. But I recommend the more nutritional and topical cosmetic strategies.
Ben, why do people take Botox injections?
To make their wrinkles go away, but doesn't look good. Botox has a relaxing effect on wrinkles. And so it's a toxin. It's botulism toxin. And the way the botulism toxin works is it relaxes muscles. Well, that'll kill you if it happens in your lungs because then you can't breathe. But what they figured out was if they use a very, very, very tiny dose of this toxin and they inject it right into wrinkles, the wrinkles will relax. And it works for about 6 months or so. It looks okay if you're young, but if you're, you know, getting older and you have a lot of wrinkles, it doesn't look so good.
Okay, time for a couple more quick calls. Jackie in Arkansas. Hi, Jackie. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie.
Hi. I'm one of those people that takes no medicine.
Nice.
And I'm 81.
Good for you.
Nice. What do you attribute it to?
Good genes.
Routines?
Good genes.
Good genes, okay.
Yeah, my mother at 99, she was going to go and stay with my brother in New Hampshire. I took her to the doctor. The doctor said, oh, you're in excellent health.
Oh, wow.
And he said, you can get down now. So what is the first thing he does? He bends over to pull out the step-down thing, you know. And what does my mother do? She kind of jumps off of it, and he said, boy, you're agile. And she said, yeah, and bent over and put her hands flat on the floor.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
And she was taking no medicine.
You got a number of years still ahead of you, Jackie.
Good for you, Jackie.
She lived to be 99.
That's fantastic. How old was your father?
Well, now my dad was... This is another story. My dad went to the doctor every year. The doctor would say, oh, you're in excellent shape. You're in really good shape. And he'd say, yeah, but my chest bothers me. Oh, it's, and I don't know what he said it was.
Uh-oh.
I don't know the word. But anyway, oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. At 62, he went to the doctor again. Oh, you're in excellent shape. And he said, my chest is still bothering me. And he said, well, let's go ahead and do a stress test. Oh, my gosh. I don't know why you haven't had a heart attack.
Oh, my
you
God.
You need four bypasses.
Oh, my. That,
oh, wow.
That'll give you 5 extra years of life. So he got the 5 bypasses, and he got the 5 extra years of life, and, well, he lived to be 84.
That's pretty good. Now, do you have a quick question for Ben?
Yes. It has nothing to do with that. I had macular
degeneration.
No. I got ahead of myself. I had cataracts.
Uh-huh.
And I had cataract surgery. And I was so happy because I was going to get rid of my glasses. I hated my glasses. I had them in fourth grade. And my mother would say, don't put on your glasses unless you need to read. Except I couldn't see the blackboard. I could read fine, but she kept telling me that. Every time, take those off. You don't look as good. Anyway, so that's all great. Well, I went to the doctor, and I'm not seeing quite as well. Mm-hmm. And he said, you've got macular degeneration. It's not very far, you know, it's not advanced or anything. It's really minor right now.
All right, and Ben, we've only got a minute left, so do the best you can.
Macular degeneration. Start doing pigments, like we talked about earlier. Braise your vegetables in butter so the pigments come out, and you can do supplements like the Vision FX and the Ocutive from Longevity, which both have pigments in them. And then treat yourself like a diabetic, even if you're not, even if you haven't been diagnosed. Sweeties from Longevity, stay away from sugary sweet foods. Just treat yourself like you have high blood sugar. Chances are you do, and that will slow down the degenerative process in addition to making sure you're getting the pigments and the Vision FX and the Ocutive.
Ben, once again, thank you for being on the program. We'll talk to you in 6 weeks, my friend.
Thank you so much, George.
You be well. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs, criticalhealthnews.com. And again, Here's the phone number to call for assistance. They've got a staff there that are taking notes like crazy in case you miss anything. 1-855-949-7234. And if you didn't get on the program, but you have some of the same symptoms, you can still call that number and get some help. And the website, criticalhealthnews.com. Up next, how a dog that died changed the person's life.